How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Paula?
I am good. I'm good. I really want to say thank you for speaking with us on the podcast today, especially because it's a little bit early where you are right now. You know, for the listeners and the viewers, obviously time zones. I'm in the UK, Daphne's in Canada. So we had to kind of try and make it work, and it is super early for you. So thank you for speaking to us. For people that are listening and watching, could you please introduce yourself?
All right. So my name is Daphne Richardson. I'm a Canadian Christian worshiper, recording artist here living in Ottawa, the capital. And I just love God. I love music. I started my music journey in like 2020. So it's only been about 3 years and so much has happened. And in that time, I've got signed to a label in the UK called HFP Music. I've had the chance to tour with one of the artists there, his name is Called Up Music. So I've got to travel to different countries, places I've never been, minister. And it's really just been a crazy, crazy ride, crazy journey. I didn't think that when I released my first song that I would be here and I would have got to do all the things that I've got to do. But really, it's all just about just making Jesus known, encouraging people through song, and giving songs for people to worship to worship to in any situation, whether it's happiness, whether it's pain, and just really just pushing that Jesus is the thing that we rely on and the thing that we trust.
That's so good. You kind of said some of the things that I was going to ask you questions about. Let's go backwards. So you did start in 2020 with your first single, You Found Me. And that was the beginning of the journey. But I'm so sure I could just tell by your voice, by the content you've put out, that you were singing before that. So if you could share a bit more about the music journey before dropping actual music.
For sure. So I come from a very musical family. So my dad is a professional musician. He, you know, does that for a living. I have an aunt and an uncle who also did like Christian hip hop here in Canada. And they kind of showed me what that life was like just doing certain shows. And I've seen like how they rehearsed and how they organized their set list, like very technical things, but also just seeing them minister in different places, different kind of settings. And I was like, wow, this is really amazing to see someone minister in song and travel and affect, especially like young people. So that was my first kind of taste at what this life was kind of like. And then I started leading worship at my church at the time, around 16. And actually, no, that was first I started off as a background singer. Shout out to all the sopranos. And I say that because people don't think that that's like an important, like important role, but it really is. And there's a lot of things that I've learned just singing in praise and worship, singing in church, that I use all the time. In creating songs, in writing songs, in vocal arrangements. So that kind of was like the training ground in a sense, but I didn't really know, like I wasn't working towards that. I wasn't working to like, okay, by this age, I'm going to be a singer. Like it was not like that. It was just kind of just learning and just enjoying the process and then started to lead. And then when I started to lead, I started to have like a bunch of people come to me almost at like the same time, like, you should write a song. Like you should try writing, like just give it a try. And it wasn't something that I was thinking of doing. I wasn't like writing songs or anything from when I was like 18. Like I was just literally just leading worship. So then I started to do that. And then that's what led to me wanting to release the first song. And that was like the whole just beginning of that.
And you released a couple singles that year in 2020 and then also in 2021 before you signed to HFP Music. We're obviously at the podcast, we're big fans of HFP. We love Called Out, we love Marizzi, and it's been incredible to see you release music as part of the label. What was the actual like journey or story of getting signed, especially because you're not in the UK? How did that happen?
Oh my gosh. So it's still so like so crazy because again, I didn't even know anybody in the UK. Like I didn't know anything. Like I didn't know anyone. I had somewhat heard of Called Out, but I wasn't like a diehard fan that was like, you know, chasing HFP down. Like I wasn't really doing that. But essentially they found me, like literally, on Instagram. And we connected first. It was right before the pandemic, where Chibuzo, my now manager, had messaged me to come to the UK to minister at his church, like just like separate from everything else. Then the pandemic happened. So then I didn't go. And then we still kind of stayed in contact. I had just started, like you said, I released You Found Me. I released two other songs. And then I was kind of exposed to the world of HFP at that point. I kind of was like curious about management, certain things within the industry, releasing songs, like how to do that stuff. So we connected, and then I did a Christmas song with them, with MacPo, called Bring Me Love. And from there, after kind of like working together and just seeing how easy it was, that's when they basically asked, like, would you like to, you know, take this further and sign? And I was like, yeah. So again, like, it was really them finding me on Instagram. I think it had, you know, there were some other people in the community that had seen me just on Instagram. I think it was like a worship post or something. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't anything super, I don't think it was anything super fancy that I had done. So I really think that's an amazing way that we kind of connected. And I just see it as a kingdom connection, because it was very organic. I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't looking to be signed. And it was interesting because he had reached out to me even before You Found Me came out. So I didn't even have a song out per se. It's just they had found me worshiping somewhere online and were curious. So yeah, it's pretty cool. And then to see how much we've done, it's just like, yeah. you wouldn't know. It was just such a simple, like, oh, like, let's work together. Yeah.
That is so incredible. And that's crazy, yeah, that it was like over the seas and over the around the globe to reach,
yeah,
you. And then, yeah, your first song is called You Found Me as well. Can we just talk about that? Like, that's so crazy. I love when God shows out in places like that, because there's no way that anybody can take the glory from that.
Exactly.
Like, that connection. Yeah, I love, yep, it. And yeah, like you said, you've done so many things as part of the label with your music, and also with like, ministering, performing at different places around the world. Most notably to me, because I was there, I got to see, you were at Pulled Out Live in London, which, yes, is Pulled Out Music's headline show. Incredible, can I just say? Oh. So good. So amazing seeing you there. And I know, like, I remember coming, my sister and I were talking about it. We're like, okay, well, she has to do this song and she has to do this song. If she doesn't, we're somehow going to be like, go back on stage, do that again. Like, we did this song. So it was really incredible. And I just love to ask about that experience. Like, was that your first time in London, like working in London? And how did you find the whole experience?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it was amazing. That was my first time ever in the UK, ever in London. So I was excited, but it felt like very similar to Canada, actually, just in terms of like the culture. And because I obviously knew so many people going in that I haven't officially met in person, I was going like, oh, I can't wait to see this person. Like, you know, instead of in Amsterdam where I literally knew no one. But it was really great to see a lot of friends, to see obviously some friends that I had already met, and then people that I was really excited to meet, like you guys and other artists and stuff like that. So that was cool. And then I think the overall experience of the actual show and the performance was, it was really great. Like, it was a lot though. Like, it was a lot of production. It was a lot of rehearsal. It was a lot of making sure that things were needed to be. And it was really a challenge, in a sense, a good challenge that, like, you know, we can do this for God, but we can do it on a professional level, and we can do it in excellence. And I know that that was called out's heart. I know that that's what he wanted to really show, is that, you know, sometimes we're just like, oh, like, it's for God, like, he'll accept anything. And I'm not saying that, you know, you can't, if you want to have a song in your heart, you can't just worship, and you can, but I think that there is a standard that, you know, we should try to reach, that, you know, it just should be done in excellence. It should be done, you know, in a way that's thought out. It should be done that's rehearsed in a way that is in order. And that's what I think what we really saw the whole show from top to bottom was just so much excellence. There was so much skill. Like, you know, when Saul called for a musician, he called for a skilled musician. And I think that we talk about, you know, so much of the heart of worship, but there is a skill aspect to it that is important. It's important to work on your craft. It's important to work on your delivery. So, you know, these are the things that, you know, me and Calda, we talk about, and people in our groups, we talk about. So we really wanted to show that and really just achieve that in this performance, in the show.
That is so evident. I think there was just excellence written all over the show. And I think we've come to expect that with Called Out, with HFP in general. So mm-hmm. it definitely lived up to that. And I know we were like, next stop O2 London. I'm like, I'm still holding out for that personally. You know, if you want to come back for that, we'll make that happen. You mentioned meeting other people that you had known, like virtually through social media, in person at that day. Were there some UK artists that you were really excited to meet and got to meet on that day?
Yeah, like, of course, like, you know, Becca Folks, Anna Toria, who's part of the show. Limo Blaze, I didn't know he was going to be there. I had messaged him and he said he wasn't sure, but he was there. I was like, oh, great. This is nice. And then there were a couple of others, like, there was Lady T, who's a announcer who I did an interview with before, some of the musicians. So yeah, it was really great. Just, you know, you talk to people like here and there on Instagram and like, oh, you repost their stuff and like you hear their music, but just to meet them in person is, you know, it's just another great, great moment. So.
I love that. And you've actually been on other shows. We've Called Out with other people. In other countries as well. What are some of your favorite? I mean, I've been going through your Instagram, so I know some of the places you've been, like Amsterdam and Paris and things like that. Yeah. But what are some of your favorite places that you have been able to minister at?
Oh my gosh, I love them all for different reasons. I think that each show in each city has something different, and that's what Called Out will probably tell you too. Is like he can kind of tell from the vibe of the city or whatever, the people, you know, how he's going to minister and stuff like that. So but Paris was wild. Paris was just like a different it was just, they were so hungry, they were so excited. And I ministered at a lot of French like cities because I live in Canada. There's a huge, you know, French population, so it's like that with all of the French cities I've ever been to, and they're all just like hyped. So I really enjoyed that. And Paris is just such a beautiful city in general. And then Amsterdam was the first time where I felt very like, I'm not in Canada. Like, I'm really in a different foreign place. Paris felt a little bit like Canada because it's French. And then obviously the UK felt like Canada because it's English. But Amsterdam, I was like, I am really in a foreign country. Like, this is very, this is very different. But it was great. We had a really awesome time of worship. What I like to do in all of my set lists is have a little bit of time of like a real just spontaneous worship in there. So I Called Out in London, you got to see that. And then I try to do that in each city, and it's kind of different in each one. Like, the songs may be a little bit different and stuff. So, but yeah, all of them have, there's this, you know, specific moments in each that really stand out to me, specifically in that worship time where I felt like the Lord just really let me just minister and just, you know, stay in that place and do what he wanted to do. So, yeah.
I love that. Yeah, you said something on your Instagram about every stage you're at, making it an altar. So being able to worship like authentically, I think that's really beautiful.
Yeah.
Authentically, that wasn't planned, authentically. we will go on to music and the authenticity in a bit. But yeah. I just wanted to even go dig deeper in terms of your sound and how you kind of found the genre of music you make. So you're a real singer, like, no shade, but you're a real singer, like a real singer, you know, a singer, you know, you're like, sing.
Oh my goodness.
That's what you do. You know, you really remind me of like what we think of when we think of gospel music and worship music. Wow. So I'd love to know like how you developed your sound and maybe some people that you listen to or who influence how you try and sing, I guess.
Yeah. I really grew up on gospel, like early in my, as a kid, like I posted a Hezekiah Walker cover this past week. And I grew up on Hezekiah Walker. Like, that was the songs that our church choir would sing. And those aren't easy. Those aren't easy songs at all. So Hezekiah Walker, Kirk Franklin, Mary Mary, those were kind of like the bread and butter of, you know, the beginning. And I really like, in terms of their vocal style though, like the Clark sisters, Kier Clark Sheard, that's like my goal. Like, if I could sing like that, all like just them, because they're just so amazing. And I really, honestly, before certain, you know, performances, and if I'm doing specifically like a gospel set or a gospel song, I'll listen to a lot of gospel because it's such a unique, just genre and a way of singing and a way of just ministering the song. It's not, you know, it's not normal. Let's just say it like that. It takes a lot of just rehearsal and skill. So those were the early people that I really listened to. And then there was a time where I wasn't really in church, where I listened to, you know, some secular artists as well, that, you know, R&B and stuff like that. So I do have a love for, you know, some of the Christian R&B songs as well. So it's kind of a mix of stuff. I say this all the time. I listen to everyone. I love some country. I love some pop. Canada has a lot of country, slow rock, stuff like that. So you kind of just happen to grow in, you have to listen to it. So it's going to influence, you know, your sound, but definitely gospel was the beginning of it all.
Mm-hmm. I always find it so interesting when like American and Canadian artists talk about country, because it's not really a thing here. It's a genre, but it's not really a genre. We have more like soft rock and like rock worship and stuff like that. Yeah. We don't really have country. So yeah. Whenever I speak to an artist and they're like, oh yeah, you know, and they listen to country. And I'm like, do you know what? I hear it. Like, there's a twang that we don't really have. You know, we have grime. You know, we have grime music.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I love that. I love that. Let's go into the music then. So, as I said, I hinted at, you dropped an EP called Authentic, and it had some of the singles that you had released before in it, as well as new songs. And so I thought, let's just kind of talk through some of the songs, starting with the title of the EP and even the cover art. Why did you feel like it was the time to release a body of work, and how did you come up with the name Authentic?
Yeah, so at that point I had done, you know, just single releases, and I feel like there's something really special with an actual project, because when you have that, you know, you have a theme or a title or something that you really want to express, and then all the songs kind of just line up with that. I think it helps to even push the message even more when it's in a project. That's just my own personal feeling. So I do love projects. I do love EPs. And Authentic is, I called it that because I feel like, you know, in worship ministry, even as Christian artists, you know, sometimes we feel like we need to, you know, copy the things that we see and copy the things that we, you know, are just kind of like in the mainstream, and, you know, we're just, maybe we don't know our own sound, but I really feel like God is calling us to have our own sound based off of our own experiences. And just to be authentic to that, and just to be completely who we are and all the things that we've been through and lived through, and express that in our worship and in our music. And I think there's also, a specific way to worship in an authentic way. And there's a way to worship, a better way to say it, is in spirit and in truth. And just to completely worship in that, to be free in that, just to completely just like let go and not care and just give God what he really deserves, and just, you know, not really worrying about what anyone else thinks, what anyone else says, and just authentically doing that. So that's what I wanted to really just express in the songs. And when you're authentic, I also see it as you're being honest, you're being real about maybe where you're at. I think that as Christians, when we come to God and we come to him, it's okay to say like, I'm not in a good space. I'm not in a good headspace. Things are really rough right now. You can express that in worship. There's a thing about worshiping in pain. That's a kind of worship that even angels can't give God. Like that's us, like only us here on earth can give him worship and pain. So I want to just put that all into this project. And, you know, songs like Heavy, for example, are songs where you authentically are worshiping and talking about things that you're going through in some detail, right? So, but we'll go through, I guess you want to go through all the songs, but that's just one of them. So
I was like, she's going to say all my questions before I even ask them. No, we can start with Heavy. Heavy was the second, but let's go with Heavy. That is actually one of your best performing songs on Spotify specifically. And it's also one song that you actually did live, which was incredible. I think a lot of people that didn't know you left that place like, who's this woman? Who is this woman? Please tell us like some of the story behind writing Heavy.
That one, yeah. So this song was written in a very difficult time, like of my life, like for sure. And there was no other way but to say I was just heavy. Like I just felt like just weighed down. Like I felt like I was walking and there was just something like literally pushing me down because I was in so much distress. And I think it was also around the time when it came out that the war had started in the Ukraine and Russia. Like there was a lot of heaviness in the world. We're coming out of the pandemic where there was a lot of death and there was a lot of anxiety. Like it was, just a very hard time. Like, we think about the pandemic like it happened so long ago. Like, it was just 2 years ago where we were all wondering what was going on. So it was written in that time. And I just really wanted to just express that I was feeling heavy, but I know that I can bring my burdens to God and that He can, you know, carry that yoke for me. So that's a little bit of the story with that.
Such a beautiful song. I love that it was a single first and then it was also part of the EP, because I think, yeah, it really needed that double push for sure. Onto the one song that's one of my favorites. I think it is my favorite, but I did love watching you perform Heavy, so it's tied. Eternal Eyes featuring Called Out Music. Mm. Such a beautiful song. And I think the reason why it's such a beautiful song to me is, or one of the reasons is, I remember a reel that you dropped on Instagram where you were recording for, you know where I'm going with this, so you were recording for Eternal Eyes. And then you like did this crazy riff and you were just like, did I just do that? And then I listened to the song and then it's right at the end of the song. And oh, I was like, my gosh, I saw this reel. I saw it. So I love that song so much, honestly. So if you could just talk about writing that song and then also having Called Out Music on that song.
Yeah, so we used to do writing sessions, which we haven't done in a while. I might have to tell him, we might have to do that. But we used to do some writing sessions just on Zoom and stuff, and I was showing him a couple of songs. I think I showed him like three songs. And he was like, they're good. Like, you know, he wasn't super impressed, but he was like, yeah, like they're all good. Like we can make it work, you know? But then I showed him and like no music, just a cappella, like just the beginning, the we call small guy calls it. And he was like, wait. And he was like, he grabbed his guitar and he was just like, wait, hold on. And then he was just like figuring out a whole melody. And once you kind of find that, like that moment in songwriting, you're like, okay, there's something going on here. Like, let's tap into that. So that was how it worked with him. And it literally happened like that. Like, he would tell you the exact same thing. Like, it was so like, hold on, like, whoa. So that song, specifically the part where it says, I will wrap my life in Jesus, that quote is literally from a conversation that I was having with one of my cousins who's a pastor. And we were talking, just talking about like how, as you get older, especially like if you're in your, like your 20s, going into your 30s, you're really thinking about, you know, okay, how do I get my money up? How do I prepare for, you know, a house and all these things? Like, you start thinking a little bit more materialistic because you're just trying to figure out like, how's my life going to like look? So I was having this conversation with him and I was telling him, you know, it's so hard on Instagram, like how do I not compare myself to the person who's showing off their huge mansion in Texas? Like, you know, like, how do I not do that? And he was just saying to me, literally, he's like, but none of it matters if our life isn't wrapped up in Jesus. Like, none of that matters. And that line just stuck with me. Like, it just stuck. And when I was songwriting, I came back to that line and it just kind of led to everything else. And it really, again, it's the whole message of the song is just keeping our eyes on Jesus, on the things that matter, on the things that are eternal and the things that are above. One of my favorite scriptures is like, set your affections on things that are above. And just to kind of have that all tied together as a song that I love and a scripture that I've like lived on, it just came together so beautifully. So yeah, it's a heartfelt song for sure.
Such a good song. Oh. Literally on my worship playlist. I love it so much. On to Merciful God, which you publicly said God gave it to you in a dream. So would you like to share some more about how that came from a dream to a song?
Yeah, literally. And I don't think I've had an experience like this where it's been so clear. I woke up singing the song. Like, I woke up and it was literally like a movie. I woke up, the sun was like shining. And I literally woke up with like, your mercies are new every day. Like, that first whole section, I was like, oh. And again, I was like, why am I waking up to this? And sometimes you'll have a dream and you don't remember it until like later on in the day. And then later on in the day, I was like, oh, this was like, it was like in the dream, someone was like teaching me the song. Like, I didn't just like was singing it. Like, they were teaching it at a church in my dream. And I was learning it. And then I woke up singing it. Like, it was very, very, very supernatural. And honestly, if I'm honest, I think that's my personal favorite song. Because it just, there's such a joy to it. There's just such a, like, you're just driving, whatever you're doing something and it's so, you know, light, but you're still just basking in the mercy of God. So, that one's one of my favorites for sure.
Really beautiful song. Honestly, I could go through your whole discography, but I'm not going to do that. We're on a time limit. So
we'll go with the most recent single at the time of this is being filmed, so matching.
Yeah, but yeah, yeah.
Most recent single, Thousands of Years. And I just want to read a quote from what you said about the song. Such a beautiful, intimate song. But you said, faith is a choice. Trusting God is a decision. It's not a feeling or an emotion. It's a deliberate and intentional action that's not based off what we see or know. It's not based on our circumstances, our odds or logic. It's based off who God is and what his word says.
Mm-hmm.
That is so good. That is so good. Can you just, talk about how this song, Thousands of Years, came to be?
Yeah, I think, so this one, was co-written by another artist named Eswa, who I believe she's located in Paris, but she's super talented. Go check her out. And this song, when I think about the song, I think about the words. Another scripture that comes to mind too, which also kind of ties in with heavy, is, why are you cast down on my soul? Like, why? So I think it's important to talk to your soul and talk to yourself even, and just be like, I command my body, I command my mind to praise the Lord. And and just kind of like encouraging yourself. And that's really the whole base of that chorus is, why won't I trust you now? Why won't I trust God now? And sometimes you have to just speak the word over yourself, speak, faith over yourself, because like I said in that quote, faith is not an emotion. I think there's a huge culture of, emotionalism when it comes to Christianity, where it's like we feel things and that's how we know God is moving. Like, not necessarily. Like, God is moving whether you feel him or not, whether you're aware or not, whether you know or not, whether you know him or not. He's still doing his thing. It's not based off of if we feel it or not. We're just tapping into that. So I think, when we look at scripture, when we look at even the things maybe in our own lives of what God has already done, and the things that he's accomplished and the miracles that he's done. So if he can do that then, why wouldn't he be able to do that now? If he's the same God then, if he's the same God over there, if he's the same God of the revival that's breaking out over there, he's the same God here too. So we need to trust in that. We need to believe in that. And it's important for us to choose that, to even just vocalize and to say to him, like, I don't necessarily understand what's going on. I don't really get it, but I'm going to choose to trust you. So that's what that song is all about. That message of just pushing through in your faith and trusting God regardless.
Yeah, I love that you said that it's not an emotion, that he's still moving. If you're like, hey, I'm not feeling a single thing. There's no goosebumps. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Sometimes we need to be reminded of that, because we do think it's so limited to how I feel, but he's very much not limited to our emotions. So
right. Exactly.
It's really good. I know we don't have loads of time, but I would love to just talk about something that's more related to SHH. So SHH is specifically for women in music. Yeah. Because we have some different like challenges that we have to overcome or have to like work with, I guess. So just even the fact that you travel and minister with your husband, who also preaches, you do music ministry, but you have a job, you also are a vocal coach, you have loads of different hats that you're wearing. I'm sure you're a friend to someone, a sister to somebody else, there's loads of different elements of your life. And I would just love to ask if there's any advice that you can give or that you've experienced that's helped you balance the many hats.
I believe in being organized. I believe in calendars. I believe in structure. I believe in planned rest. So honestly, for this month of April, this was my month of rest after a very crazy January, February, March. I was like, if anyone asked me to sing, I'm off, I'm away, I'm not here. So I think that's important. I think rest is probably the best friend that you can have when you're traveling, you're doing ministry. If God needed to rest, so do you, right? So, I think that sometimes it's not bad to be ambitious, but we can't let our ambition, run us into the ground and literally it's not a cool thing to burn out. It's not. So I have, a very intense job. So I have that as well. I thank God for flexibility and favor that, they're aware that I travel and stuff like that. So it's a very unique situation where I'm glad. Thank you, God. But still, like, I still do my best to just be balanced, make sure that I eat well when I can. Junk food is not a thing. It's not a thing in Jesus' name. But it's not good for your voice. It's not good for your mental. I do what I can for self-care. But I think it's really about just having a good support. Sometimes people are like looking at you and they're like, Daphne, like, you need to just take several seats. try take several seats for the next week, and I like just relax. And you're like, okay. So sometimes even my manager, we were in the UK, because I was like, I'm living it up. Like, I have 4 days there. I got one day to do some sightseeing. And he's like, Daphne, do not tire yourself out. I was like, okay, I won't. So it's important. All of that mixed together, I think you just, once you get into a rhythm as well, and once you get used to traveling and working and all this stuff, it seems intimidating at first, but once you start to do it, it just kind of becomes, a little bit more second nature. So, yeah.
I love that. Yeah. So it's basically about a mixture of organization, resting, trusting it in God's hands, and also having a support network around you.
Exactly.
Can check you and be like, girl, take a rest, relax, stop exactly. where you are.
Yeah,
that's so good. Sure. That's so good. And then you also run a worship night with your husband called Come Home Ottawa.
Yeah.
Which I think you guys just recently had.
Yes.
A night. How has that been? Like, tell us.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. Like, it's just, it's amazing. It was so amazing. We weren't really expecting it to be as sold out as it was. Like, we physically were like, we don't know how we're going to fit people into this place. It reminded me of the scripture of the person when he's trying to come through the roof and like to see Jesus. Like, that was literally the situation it was. So it just shows, like, in our city, and I think in tons of cities, and I felt it in London, in Paris too, and Amsterdam, is like, there are Christians that are hungry for the presence of God. There are people that are hungry for a move of God. Like, I want to get to the place where it's like, it's not about who's on the stage. It's not about who's worshiping. It's not about who's speaking. We're just there coming to seek God, just coming to bask. That means that we sit at the altar for 10 hours. If that means that we, like, it doesn't matter. Like, at the end of the day, we're just seeking him. And that's really what Come Home is about. It's about, the presence of God is our home. Like, this is the thing that we should be the most comfortable in. So that's what it really was about. And he preached an amazing word. He's an amazing preacher. Shout out to my husband, Chris. And, we can't wait to do it again. So we're looking at doing it again in the summer. So if you're in Ottawa, you're listening, make sure you come out.
Yes. I love that. And one of our team members, Audrey, is actually based in Canada. Don't ask me where, because in my head, I thought it was like, I messaged her the other day. I was like, oh, do you know, we have this artist called Daphne. She's in Canada. I think she's near you. And then, like, I told her, like, you're in Ottawa. She was like, oh, that's like 4 hours away from me. And I was like, I live in the UK where everything's like max 3 hours away.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I don't really know. Like, I'm so sorry. Yeah. But I love that we're seeing cities all over the country, all over the world, just like loving God, because we're having these experiences in London as well. So it's beautiful to see. Yeah, I could honestly speak to you for ages. I feel like there's loads more I want to go through, but I'm going to give you the final question. And this is just something we love to kind of end interviews on, because it shows our expectation, our excitement, our desires. And then we can also compare that to what God actually ends up doing, which almost always supersedes that. And it just kind of acts like a record, because you end up watching this back a year later and being like, wow, God, you really showed out. Like, I wasn't even ready. But I'd love to ask you, what is something that's coming up in your career, maybe later this year or next year, that you are super excited for?
Yeah. So I have a live project that's coming out. By the time this comes out, it might actually be out. And it is the biggest thing I've ever done. It required a lot of work, a lot of rehearsal time, a lot of prep. I think it's my best musically songs like ever, like I've ever done. I'm like the happiest with it. It's called, I'll give you a sneak peek. It's called Rain, R-E-I-G-N. And again, it's really just about like just people seeing, the power of God in their lives and just submitting to him. And that's what I really want to see for our generation. Honestly, it doesn't sound super, exciting, but I want to see people just, honor the Lord as their Lord, as the, just lordship of their lives. So that's coming out. It's amazing. I'm hoping to get some really good features in it. And also there's another song coming up there that embodies that little saying that I've been saying, which is make every stage an altar. There's a whole song about that. And I'm really excited about just what those songs are going to do, how they're going to potentially, travel, how God can use them in whatever way. But I'm really just excited to see them affect the worshipers all around the world. So I'm really, really excited about that.
Yeah. And that's one thing I love about your music. You actually make like music that can be sang in church. I think a lot of these days, most artists want to make music that we can enjoy just like on the road trip or with friends or whatever. But I think we cannot neglect like the power of congregational worship. Mm-hmm. And so making songs that we can play in church is so powerful and it's so needed. Yeah. And I think that's what I love about Eternal Eyes. That's what I love about Heavy. Like these are really heartfelt, real worship songs. And so I'm excited to see the next ones to come. And also this project sounds incredible. Yeah. So I'll be keeping an eye out for sure. But yeah, is there anything else you would love the SHH audience to know about you or to leave with them as we end this interview?
I think what I love about this podcast is it's focused specifically on women. And as a woman who's, you know, in like the industry or just, you know, as a worshiper, sometimes you feel like you have to make yourself like small. Sometimes you have to, you feel like you have to like, oh, I can't be like too strong. I can't be too vocal. Yes, you can. you have an authority that you are called to walk in, whether you're a preacher, whether you're an influencer, whether you're a videographer, like, you know, walk in that authority, walk in that boldness. You know, God is calling women and men to be bold in this time. And if you know that you're called to do something, walk in it. Don't overthink it. Don't think it's prideful of you to showcase the gifts that God has given you. And, you know, I was just having this conversation, you know, who lights a candle and hides it under a bushel? Like it's all of these things it comes into context. It's real life, right? So if you're a woman and you're like kind of timid, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. God will use all aspects of your personality and everything like that. But don't be afraid to walk into the things that God has called you to walk in, and you'll see the fruit of it, and you'll see, and you'll look back and you're like, how did I get here? Hence me, how did I get here? So walk in that, be bold, and just follow what God is calling you to do. Just obey him and you'll see what he's going to do with that.
That is so good. So needed to hear. That is so good. Wow. Thank you so much for your time, Daphne. I feel like this has been a great episode, and I know that everyone watching and listening are blessed by you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hi guys, I hope you enjoyed that episode. If you did, make sure to leave a like rating wherever you're listening to this and to follow us on Instagram at SHH Podcast.